It is time for the scoop. Just a reminder, we just talked to Lindsay Theory. Her appearances are brought to you by Corona Extra. Our game day beach is back. Always enjoy every game with Corona Extra, an official cerveza of the Los Angeles Rams. Ramona, let's go to the scoop, and I'll start with this. On Sunday, after the state of California announced it was shutting down outdoor dining for at least 3 weeks, some people didn't like it. One of those people was former USC quarterback Matt Leinart, who tweeted the following, quote, LA just closed all dining, indoor, outdoor, for 3 weeks? Can't wait to move out of this awful place. Ridiculous, end quote. Predictably, social media jumped all over Leinart, calling him tone deaf, bringing up his less than stellar NFL career. But Matt later clarified his post with a good point when he wrote, look, people are going to lose jobs again, and small businesses are going to shut down. Ramona, here's my question. Do you think it's even possible to have a civil discussion about something like this? Or is the world so polarized after the election that you have to pick a camp and just stay in it? I thought what Leinart brought up, he may have not done it in the most tactful way, but didn't he bring up a legitimate thing we should discuss? Is it the smartest thing in the world to shut down all restaurants who are even doing outdoor only dining for 3 weeks? Isn't that a legitimate thing to at least ask?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've actually been doing a lot of research on this, right? Because I did that story with the Warriors a couple weeks ago,
right,
where you talk about testing. And I think that this issue has become so polarized because of politics. But really, if we just bring it back to the science, it actually shouldn't be as hard as we're making it. Okay. Like if we had some level of testing like they have in Asia, you could have all the dining you want. The restrictions are literally based off of the idea that we don't know who has COVID. We just don't know. So if you have 100 people in a restaurant, you know, and the rate per 10,000 is whatever it is, right? If the idea is, you know, maybe there's 1,000 people per day in outdoor dining and, you know, the rate is one of those people has it and potentially is going to spread it, they have to start shutting things down. But if we had any kind of testing, which, by the way, they have in the rest of the world, we wouldn't have to do this. If people would wear, just kind of do what we're supposed to do, we wouldn't be in this spot. But I think you're right. It's been so politicized that we've gotten to a really tough spot. And I think if we just really tightened up with our keep your mask on, you know, be safe about the ventilation and the outdoor dining, there's ways we can do it, but we have to just paint with a very broad brush. Now, another thing, John, I read about, which I think is something they're learning over in Europe. Europe seems to be always about 6 weeks ahead of us in terms of COVID.
Right.
It came there a little earlier than it came here. They dealt with it a little earlier than we did, right? Some would say we never really dealt with it. But I think that, you know, in Europe, they noticed that if they did a strict lockdown for 2 weeks, that really strict, like safer at home, nobody goes anywhere, right? It actually dropped the rates of the virus so much so that the next 8 to 10 weeks were actually okay. And I think our biggest problem is that we've been half in, half out the whole time. And if we can just somehow get to a place where we, you know, do this, like, hey, I could do 2 weeks off, 2 weeks on, 8 weeks on, 10 weeks on. Like if we really did that, that would be manageable. I don't think people would lose their jobs.
Right. And I think that what the point Leinart brought up, he didn't do it in a very tactful way, is a completely legitimate thing that we should talk about. Is it really smart to completely eliminate outdoor dining? And for, especially for people, as you point out, that are following the rules, we're going to do it. It's going to happen. And we're going to see if it makes a difference. But I think that you can make a legitimate argument that crippling these businesses and in some cases completely shutting them down may not be the smartest thing to do. We'll see. Time will tell. All right, it's to you, Ramona.
Well, John, thanks for the political question right off the top, right? The Pro Football Hall of Fame revealed the 25 modern era semifinalists for the class of 2021 on Tuesday. The list includes 4 first-year eligible players: Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson, Calvin Johnson, and Jared Allen. Manning and Woodson are virtual locked for first ballot status. Johnson was headed to a no-doubt first ballot status before he surprisingly retired after only 9 seasons in 2015. However, with Torrey Holt, Reggie Wayne, and Hines Ward also nominated, Johnson may have to wait in line for enshrinement. Is Calvin Johnson worthy of being a first ballot Hall of Famer, John?
It is a great question and a fair one. My answer is no, simply because of this. To get into any sports Hall of Fame, you have to have one of two things. Some guys like Peyton Manning have both, or Tom Brady have both. One is complete statistical dominance over the length of your career. Like that your numbers are so staggering that we can't keep you out of the Hall of Fame.
Right.
The second one is postseason excellence, that you were dominant in champion. Like Eli Manning is getting into the Hall of Fame because he was Super Bowl MVP twice. Without that, he would have put up big numbers. He might eventually have gotten in anyway, but he's getting in because he got two Super Bowl MVPs. Calvin Johnson never did anything in the playoffs. And although his stats in the 9 years that he played were awesome, I don't think it's first ballot. I would make him wait. How about you?
I think I would too. I think he was seen as a generational talent, but he played on teams that never really did much. And I think because he retired with like so much left to do and to prove, like, he just, you know, he should get in, but he should wait. Like there's too many other guys that should get in that actually won championships in that class.
Right. Or that played over 15 or 16 years when he only played nine.
But we're going to see more of these because I think a lot of football players are going to have shorter careers, like especially at those positions, wide receiver, running back. Just going to have shorter careers.
The positions where you get hit. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Makes sense. All right. It's to me. Dodgers outfielder Cody Bellinger underwent surgery last week to repair the right shoulder. He dislocated celebrating a home run in Game 7 of the National League Championship Series. The procedure was performed by Dr. Neil Eletrage, according to the Dodgers, who said Bellinger will start rehabbing in Arizona this week and should be ready for spring training. Do you think this will change the way the Dodgers and other teams celebrate, or was this just a fluke thing that won't change anything?
You know what? It's a great question, and I thought about it at the time, like, oh my God, what if he just knocked out the reigning NL MVP on that play? We've seen guys get hurt in weird ways, especially with dogpile celebrations. You know, usually a team, they all jump on top of each other, and then people break ribs.
Right, I remember Kendrys Morales broke his foot jumping on hit a game-winning home run, jumped on home plate, his team dogpiled, and somewhere in that exchange, he broke his foot. It was out for a year. So we don't see those.
I never got near those. I was like, I don't want any part of that. Somebody's going to step on my foot with a spike and I'm going to broken toe, or I'm going to fall and somebody's step on my hand like that. Like, plus that's not really, I don't know. I don't need to do that to celebrate. So I've never understood it. But I do think like that's a serious injury. Like a shoulder injury for a power hitter is kind of problematic. Like you don't want to be messing with that. And I'm really glad Cody was okay enough to like finish the World Series there. You know, like that didn't hurt him the rest of the way. But I'll tell you what, Cody who hurt him against? He was Kike, right? Cody and Kike were sweating bullets as they were waiting on the MRI to see if he would be able to keep playing.
Okay, it's to you.
All right. All right, in search of a way to motivate his team ahead of last weekend's game against the Minnesota Vikings, Dallas Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy tried to provide a spark in a unique way. McCarthy decided to pack a sledgehammer and an assortment of watermelons for the team's trip to Minneapolis, and then destroyed the melons at a team meeting on Saturday night. Quote, "I think anything in this game, it's important to have fun," McCarthy said. You're always trying to create emphasis in your messaging. That's really where it came from. We were just using this approach to honor the great comedian Gallagher. And it's an idea that came up and we went for it. The players were into it. The Cowboys went on to snap a 4-game losing streak with a 31-28 win over the Vikings. John, is this the strangest way you've ever heard of a coach to motivate his players?
It's up there. I'm trying to think if what else I've heard over the years. I remember one year Phil Jackson got everybody on the buses to go to a shoot around. We were on the road, and he took them paintballing instead. It was that year we had Peyton and Malone on our team,
and it
turned into this giant paintball excursion that was really fun and let them all blow off steam. So, there's unusual stories like that.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah, Steve.
That
Kerr,
team had a lot of tension.
Yeah,
that team had a lot to blow off. But let me guess. There's like 7 guys who shot a lot of paintballs at Kobe that year.
Yeah, and apparently Gary Payton trash talks even in paintball.
Of course, I heard there.
But all sorts of coaches do incredibly weird stuff. The watermelon thing is not that unusual. I mean, players tune coaches out after a while, so McCarthy was probably just trying something that would get their attention. So
wait, I want to know how many of those guys actually knew who Gallagher
Yeah, that's a good point. Lindsay, yeah. I'm surprised you know who Gallagher is.
I only know who he is because my dad used to watch a stupid comedy late at night when I was falling asleep on the couch with him.
Yeah, Gallagher's been out of the mainstream comedy spotlight for quite a few years. All right, it's to me. Momo, last Saturday, Clemson was set to play at Florida State.
The Tigers
were 5 touchdown favorites over the Seminoles when they arrived in Tallahassee. But when one of the Clemson players tested positive for COVID-19, Florida State canceled the game. Clemson isolated the player and sent him back to South Carolina, but Florida State didn't care. Clemson administrators offered additional testing to satisfy Florida State's hesitation and even offered to play the game later Saturday or Sunday or Monday. All suggestions were turned down. Dabo Swinney thinks Florida State is using COVID-19 to avoid having to play Clemson. Here's part of what Swinney said on Sunday. Quote, "This game was not canceled because of COVID. COVID's just an excuse to cancel the game. To me, Florida State's administration forfeited the game, and if they want to play Clemson, in my opinion, they need to come to Clemson, and they need to pay for all the expenses. Other than that, there's no reason for us to play them."
Wow.
End quote. Are you buying what Swinney is selling? Do you think Florida State is ducking Clemson?
Ooh, that's interesting. I kind of believe him. I kind of think he's right. I read a lot about this story because at first I was like, ooh, that's a tone deaf quote, you know, like it's kind of the same thing as you said with Matt Leinart, right? Like now is the time when everybody is painting with a very broad brush on COVID, right? The idea is, oh my gosh, we're at the beginning of a surge. Everybody go stay home. And if we get it to level off, it'll, you know, if we flatten the curve, let's be extra safe. So now is not the time to be making like statements like that, especially in states where the cases are rising fast. But having read up on this story, I do kind of see Clemson's point. It was one player who had trained with the team during the week, but like they take enough tests to where, you know, anyone he potentially could have infected probably would have been tested multiple times before they played Florida State. So it was pretty safe. It seemed like just based on what I know about the science, like calling that game off because of COVID seems a little strange.
I'm laughing because all the Florida State coaches hid behind, like Mike Norvell, the Florida State coach, said, well, we're not doctors, so we need to play it safe. If you wanted to play it safe, Mike, you wouldn't be playing college football at all. Once you agreed to play to it, to make another school spend $300,000 to travel to your town to play you, and then you to cancel the game in this way is a little weaselly. If I was Clemson, I wouldn't play. You know, Florida State's going to lose a bunch of money for not playing this game. And you know, Clemson's out $300,000 for this stunt that they pulled. If I was Clemson, I would do exactly what they're doing. I would insist Florida State come to me and pay for everything or else the game's off. Because I thought that was – I'm with you. I smell a rat here. I think Florida State –
Yeah, the science – they would have tested each of those players multiple times. Like, it's one thing to say – like, it would be one thing if they were like, oh, it's just one guy. Nobody else has it. But, like, they really were going to test everybody again. And it would, you'd have, like, 2 or 3 negative tests in a row. So I think it would have been pretty safe. Baseball dealt with this all summer when they would have one guy test. And they had to make sure the outbreak was contained. And over the coming days, if anybody else tested positive, then they had a problem, right? That happened to the Cardinals a couple times. But if Clemson would have tested enough to, you know, where you could say reasonably that they just don't, you know, they've tested enough, you feel confident they don't have another COVID case. I think they had enough time to make that game up, to play that game.
I agree. And let's see what happens. All right.
I got a good question. Oh, wait, I got a really good one for you.
Yeah, let's go. We'll do it.
All right.
One more.
Patrick Mahomes loves ketchup, okay? Like Don Mattingly.
Yeah, like Michael Thompson.
The Kansas City Chiefs quarterback, who made headlines in 2018 for eating steak with ketchup, revealed during an appearance on KCSP, okay, I thought it was going to be ESPN, but 610 Sports Radio, that he also puts ketchup, the condiment, on, wait for it, his Thanksgiving turkey and ham. I don't know what to say to this. Do you have any weird food habits or odd Thanksgiving dish requests?
Not Thanksgiving. But I don't understand why people get all worked up over Canadian bacon and pineapple on pizza. I think it's really good.
Yeah, I like it too.
And, you know, some people think, well, that's not pizza, blah. But the reason I don't think the Mahomes thing is as weird as you do, Michael has a bottle of ketchup that he brings everywhere we go.
Oh.
Because he's right. He likes ketchup on his steaks. And if you go to a nice steakhouse, they're insulted if you ask them for ketchup. And in some cases, they won't bring it. So Michael just puts a bottle in his jacket pocket, and if they don't bring it, he pulls it out and uses it. We're in a restaurant. You should get what you want.
Yeah.
If Patrick Mahomes wants to put ketchup on ice cream, who am I to tell him no?
Yeah.
You know, it's weird, but what do I care? The guy likes ketchup, right?
I mean, I like ketchup too. I like it on macaroni and cheese. Do you ever mix that in with your macaroni and cheese?
Yum. I like mac and cheese, and I like ketchup. I don't mix them.
Yeah, I mix them. I have been known to put ketchup on, let's see, what else can we think of? Like a chili dog. That shouldn't have ketchup, but I put it on that too. I get the steak and ketchup. I get it, especially if it's not a very good steak. Like, it's just, you might as well just go that route. Just kind of dress it. You know, I gave Daniel ketchup. Like, it wasn't the first time, but like the first time for real last night. Because we were over at my folks' house, and my mom made French fries. And so he was taking the French fries and the ketchup. And I was like, look, you dip it in the ketchup and then you eat the fry with the ketchup. And all he would do is use that fry as a vessel to just, it was like a spoon. It was like, he was just eating straight ketchup. So like, I get it, Pat, it's all hardwired into us.
But if I have no problem with Patrick Mahomes putting ketchup on anything he wants. All right, that's it for the scoop. Coming up, I'm going to put Ramona and Lindsay to a test.
Uh-oh.
We'll see how they do.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Mace in Ireland. Ramona's in for Mace. And I saw this the other day, and Ramona and Lindsay swear they don't know the answer to this, but somebody we all know was revealed as a contestant on The Masked Singer last week. Don't say the name, but Ramona, you swear you don't know who it is.
I swear,
right?
I don't know.
Lindsay, you don't know who it is, right?
I swear I've never even watched a second of that show.
All right, he's been on the show. He's been on the Mace in Ireland show. We talk about him a lot. Here's part of one of his performances. See if this helps you guys.
Okay.
Okay, Ramona, any guesses?
Is that Shay?
No. Lindsay, you got a guess?
Lean Back, an interesting song choice, but no, I have no clue.
Okay, I'll give you guys a hint.
Okay.
He's played for two popular sports teams in L.A.
Oh, for the Lakers and the Clippers.
All right. No, not necessarily. Not, it could be. All right. I'll just keep reading clues. If you think you know, just say your name.
Okay.
He's still active, but doesn't play in LA anymore.
Oh.
He's not the only member of his family who has appeared on our show.
Michael Thompson?
No. Nope. Turn it up, Jorge.
Come on.
I have no clue.
All right. Now, here's the one that Ramona should tip it to, well, to both of you. All right. Now, keep in mind, he's active, but doesn't play in L.A. anymore.
Ryan Hollins?
He used to play for the Lakers.
Well, I assume that.
And he's been
Dwight
on
Howard?
Our show before.
Dwight Howard? No.
No.
No? Let's think. Hold on. Who played for the Lakers and...
The other team...
Clippers.
No, it's not the Clippers. The other team that he played for besides the Lakers was a college team.
Oh, so UCLA or USC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, UCLA or USC. So it's going to be...
George. Play a little more.
Come on, Ramona.
He actually sings like he talks. All right. Here's another big hint.
Oh.
He's not the only member of his family in the
Kevin
NBA.
Love? Oh, no, not the only member of his.
Is it one of the Balls?
Yes.
It would be Lonzo, right?
It's Lonzo Ball. Isn't that
Lonzo?
Turn it up, Jorge.
What? That's pretty good.
Yeah, he was called the whatchamacallit, and he made it.
Oh,
he made it through the first cuts. And Ken Jeong, the really funny guy from the Hangover movies, actually nailed it.
What? How can you guess that?
Because they give him clues. Originally, they give those guys clues, and originally he guessed it was based on the clues. He figured it was a basketball player.
Yeah.
So he guessed Dame Lillard, but then he looked at the clues again and he thought.
Yeah, that's what I was going to guess until you said he played for both teams here. I would have thought it was Damian.
I was like thinking Lakers, somebody who played for the Lakers and the Clippers the whole time. I was trying to think of, like, there's not that many who have. There are a few. That's good, Lonzo.
I know. When they asked him, they said, why did you do it? He said, this is one of my mom's favorite shows.
Oh.
I didn't tell her that I was doing it. And so she's finding out right now, like you guys are finding out, that it was me.
Yeah,
and I actually thought he did a really good job.
He is actually he has real albums that he's released as a rapper.
You guys should check out the outfit. The outfit is, man,
it's pretty good. Google this now.
He was like, when I met him, when he was out at Chino Hills, okay, he was really into rap. Like, he was like a rapper. This is what he wrote his own songs. Like, he definitely works on his rap game, and like, this is important to him. So I know that this is something he wants to be. This is something he would like to have as a nice little side career to the NBA. He'd like to be like Dame Lillard. Like this.
Right. Well, let's put it this way. He didn't embarrass himself at all on The Masked Singer. I thought he was really, really good. And they've been able to get some pretty big name people on that show.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown was on that show.
I watched it once. I thought it was cool, but I feel like I don't have enough time to commit to those kind of shows right now. Like they require me to watch them two or three times a week.
So here's the thing. One of the guys I play golf with is a high ranking TV executive at Fox.
Okay.
And about a month ago, I said to him, man, explain to me the appeal of The Masked Singer. And he looked at me and he kind of laughed and he said, I don't know if I can explain it to you, but I can tell you that it's the number one rated show on our network other than football.
Wow.
People absolutely love it.
I get the appeal, the whole guessing thing. I feel like people love that.
Yeah.
Especially knowing it's a famous person. I think people love it.
Yeah.
You have to get really good. And you do really good gets, right? Like Dancing with the Stars is only as good as its cast and how famous its cast is, right?
Right. And has that show gotten better or worse since they fired everybody? Tom Bergeron and I've heard Aaron Andrews. And
I don't watch it, but I've watched a couple seasons here and there, a couple episodes, and I've heard that it has totally went down the crapper since they replaced Banks.
No kidding. So it's gotten a lot worse.
I guess they were hoping that she would have she would bring in a new variety of stars because she was a supermodel and she's got all these connections. But people were so ticked that they fired Aaron Andrews and Tom Bergeron that people were boycotting the show, and people that had previously agreed to be on it, they backed out. And so they have all these D-listers on the show now. I know.
Well, you know what that means.
Nev from Catfish, that guy's not shouldn't.
No, Lindsay. You know what this means. If this is true, if that story is true, it opens the door for Mason, whose number one goal in life is to be on TV.
Oh my God.
And his mom watches that show. It'd be for what Lonzo did this for his mom. Mason would use his mom as the reason he was doing it. He'd really want to do it to get Instagram followers. But we got to look into this now.
Think he's famous enough?
No, he thinks he's famous enough. That's what matters. And no, he would do it too.
Of course he would. He'd be first in line. You called me on pretty short notice today, right? But I was probably one of your first calls. But
you were the first call.
The first call, right? Yeah. And then there's the next three calls. Like if one of those people doesn't say yes, then you're like, oh, do we even want to call the next level down? Right.
Right.
Let's. Should we just wait? Is that right, Lindsay? Is that how that works when you're trying to scramble and find a host?
Literally, that Lindsay. I was sending her suggestions when you didn't respond at first, and she said, "I'm holding off until this person tells me no," which is actually kind of a smart way to do it.
Yeah.
All right, Ramona, you got something to read here. Ramona's in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And today it's Momo in Ireland, Ramona Shelburne sitting in for Mace, who's mailing it in early for Thanksgiving. he'll be back Monday.
Cold, man.
The Rams last night had a banner win. A banner win in Tampa. The thing about this particular game is that the knock on the Rams was they can't beat any other good teams. But they go into Tampa and they win the game, and I think I've been talking for a long time that if you look at the landscape of the NFC, Ramona, there isn't a team that is noticeably better than the Rams. The Rams have already beaten Seattle. They've now beaten Tampa. The other teams that people mention are the Saints, who I don't think the Rams necessarily are scared of.
Well, and they just lost Drew Brees for however long he's going to be out.
Right, and the Packers, who the Rams can handle. So Jared Goff, after the game last night, talked about the potential of this Ram team. Here's what he said.
Yeah, we can be as good as we want to be, honestly. We've got it all in front of us. I mean, we're 7-3 now, and you know, winning against Seattle last week, winning against Tampa this week. We got some division games coming up, some big ones, but you know, everything's there for us to take, and we got to take it one week at a time and keep playing good ball. I think our defense is still playing outstanding, and the better we can be on offense, I think we're really close to being where we want to be. Tonight was a step in the right direction.
He mentioned the defense. Momo, their defense has allowed 2 touchdowns in the second half all season long. That's
well, I I think the Aaron Donald factor is like, we always talk about him, but like they had a conversation done during the broadcast last night on Monday Night Football where they asked Tom Brady, like, are you aware of the times when Aaron Donald is on and off the field? He's like, I always know when Aaron Donald is on the field and where he is. And we have to take advantage of the snaps that he's not. Like, anytime Aaron Donald goes to the sideline, that's when they're looking for something. But he is so good and so destructive that, like, other teams, I mean, I think he's in their heads. I mean, it looked like it last night.
I totally agree with you. And I'll tell you what happens with both Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. They're so good, those two guys, that you really need to assign, in the case of Donald, you need to assign multiple people to block him or else he'll destroy your quarterback. And in the case of Ramsey, he can guard any player in the league one-on-one. He got called for 2 bogus pass interference plays last night. But other than that, he pretty much shut Mike Evans down. And that opened the door for Jordan Fuller, a rookie from Ohio State. He's a rookie 6th-round draft pick. It was kind of funny. Tom Brady was taken 199th by the Patriots the year he came out in the draft. That's where the Rams took Jordan Fuller in this draft, 199th. And when everybody's worrying about Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, it opens up the door for guys like Jordan Fuller. After the game, Sean McVay talked about Fuller and some of the other rookies that have been making a difference for the Rams.
Yeah, he did a great job. I mean, he's been steady ever since he's been playing, and then, you know, getting him back, I think getting a little rust off previous week, and then, you know, tonight he was outstanding. I mean, that's a great offense that can beat you in a variety of ways. He shows up in a big way in crunch time, made the play that we expect him to be able to make, and he was awesome. I like the tough contribution from Cam Akers. You could feel the burst. I mean, wow, that's a tough run defense that we play tonight. Made a big touchdown catch, and then Van Jefferson came through with a big touchdown catch as well. So both those rookies that have touchdown catches, where that's a tough defense to punch it in the red zone, was huge for them, and I was very pleased with those guys.
So, Ramona, a lot of people wondered, and this is what Lindsay Theory was talking about when she was on earlier. It's why I picked him to go 8-8. It's why she picked him to go 8-8. who's going to replace all the people that left? Who's going to replace those touchdowns and those yards Todd Gurley's been getting? Who's going to replace Brandon Cooks? Well, they're doing it with all these young rookies. And I don't think they have a weakness. The one thing you could circle is kicker, because they keep changing the kicker. But this guy, Matt Gay, last night made two field goals, including the game winner. He missed one. Here was Gay after the game talking about his – he's the latest guy they've auditioned. Here he is talking about his first and so far only game kicking for the Rams.
Yeah, kind of a crazy, story coming back to Tampa for your – and I played here last year, and there's a lot of motions, and I thought I hit that one good. Just drifted right on me. But as a kicker, you got to have a short memory, you know. The next play, that's all that matters. Let it go, learn from it, and move on. And so just kind of went to the sideline, focused on kind of what I did, get some ball contact work in the net and making sure that, you know, I was ready for that next play. And great snap, great hold, and was able to put it through on the last one.
So that's the only question mark, Momo, and the whole team is
I have another question mark, which is simply, look, we know Jared Goff is good. We know that other teams are sort of daring him to beat them. And that's why he's had so many passing games like this. But I think until you prove yourself on the biggest stage, then we have questions about you. Like, is he, you know, he out-dueled Tom Brady last night. That was big. But what happens against the 49ers, who've sort of had this Rams number the last few years? I mean, they've sort of been this team that set us up to think they're good, and then they disappoint a couple of times throughout the year.
Yeah, here Sean McVay talked about that after the game, the fact that Goff went head-to-head with Tom Brady. Here's what Sean McVay said about that after the game.
Based on how the game had been going, it would have been easy to think no way that the offense can put together a drive, but I thought the first play of the drive, the 22-yarder to Robert Woods, was instrumental. Then being able to hit him again, and then, you know, when they ended up all out blitzing us, he ended up hitting Cooper Kupp for 21 yards. That got us in field goal range, but and really, we just missed Josh Reynolds on that drive as well. That would have gotten us probably another explosive on the play right after we hit Robert on the first play of the drive. So he did a great job, Gary. I think it says what we expected, that he's a really good quarterback that just stays steady and neutral throughout the course of the game. I was very proud of Jared tonight. Not surprised, but very proud of him.
So he stepped into a huge national TV spotlight head-to-head with Tom Brady and came out on top. That's a good – Ramona, I don't think that all the concerns about – because Goff has had some games this year. You look at him and go, what is he doing? Well, he's had four turnovers and, you know, been terrible. Yeah. But last night, he looked like a guy who could play in any big game, didn't he?
Yeah, I thought he looked crisp, right? And they were letting him make some decisions himself. There was a couple of plays there where I thought, you know, they were letting him run things. Right. Like this was his offense. He was in control. It wasn't just like he's a system quarterback with Sean McVay telling him what to do all the time, like what we thought a couple of years ago.
Right. I know I'm early on this and a lot of people are ripping me for it. I don't care. I think the Rams are a Super Bowl contender. I think that if you look at the rest of the NFC, tell me who's noticeably better than them.
Well, I would have said the Saints, but they just lost Drew Brees and I don't know what. Really
and if you if you come at me with Seattle, I'll tell you the Rams have already beat them. Come at me with Tampa Bay, I'll tell you the Rams have already beat them. You know, Green Bay doesn't scare me, and in New Orleans, like you point out, doesn't have Drew Brees, and Drew Brees has 11 broken ribs. The NFC East is a joke. If the Rams were in the AFC, I would say the Chiefs and the Steelers are way better, but they're not. They're in the NFC, and for that reason, I think they can go to the Super Bowl. We'll find out soon enough. Radio Tinder. Lindsay's got a bunch of stuff she wants us to comment on. That's coming up next. Ramona Informace. I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right. Thank you, Chris Morales. Let's see what Lindsay's come up with for today. Lindsay, what do you got?
All right, guys. First story here is a very interesting one. Tony Pilosano, I hope I'm saying that right, an Ohio State senior, loved his part-time job at Sherwin-Williams Paint Store so much that he started a TikTok account just to show off all the amazing colors that can be made by mixing Sherwin-Williams paint. People love the videos, and after gaining millions of followers and close to 50 million likes, he showed his employer how the viral account is an example of what Sherwin-Williams could do on social media. So what did the paint company do in exchange? They fired him.
What?
Yes. According to termination papers, Pelissano provided to BuzzFeed, the offense was the company handed down to him was, quote, gross misconduct for wasting properties and facilities and seriously embarrassing the company or its products.
What?
Will Sherwin Williams end up seriously regretting this decision? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right. But they don't get the fact that, you know, you can't buy viral promotion like this.
Yeah. Hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of advertising.
Ramona, this reminds me of, there's a very famous story. You guys, both you and Lindsay are both too young to remember, but when were you guys alive when the movie E.T. came out?
Yep.
Okay. So they wrote, Steven Spielberg was getting ready to make E.T. And the thing about E.T. was he loved M&Ms. Okay. That's all he wanted to do is eat M&Ms. So they showed the script to the guys who run M&Ms. They said, no, we don't want this goofy alien dude associated with our product. Oh, and the guys, are you sure this is going to be a huge hit movie? And they,
I know what's coming.
And that was the beginning of Reese's Pieces.
Yep.
Reese's created Reese's Pieces for the movie E.T. And that now they've got a product that has lasted for 40 years. I would argue the same concept here.
Yeah.
They don't know this kid just, you would, of course you would want people thinking about different combinations of paint to make unique colors. Why wouldn't you? And if if he did it at Sherwin Williams, that's the only place they would go. They're not looking at the forest for the trees here, I don't think.
Well, I think it's also one of those, like, I know companies essentially want to control their own advertising, right? They want to control their own brand, but you have to be smart enough to realize when something like that goes viral. It's like, compare that reaction to, do you remember the skateboarder guy on YouTube with the cranberry juice?
Ocean Spray, yes.
Ocean Spray, okay. So Ocean Spray realized, hey, this random dude on a skateboard just went viral on TikTok drinking cranberry juice, right? Drinking our Ocean Spray cranberry juice. Let's lean into that. Let's go get Stevie Nicks. And who else did they get Lindsey Buckingham?
No, they got Mick Fleetwood.
Okay, yeah. So Stevie Nicks though is like the big get. Oh my God!
Right.
And they leaned in because they were playing a Fleetwood Mac. He was playing a Fleetwood Mac song in the famous viral video. And now Ocean Spray cranberry juice is like everywhere. That's like everyone's TikTok meme. That's everywhere. They're gonna have repeat commercials.
You said the key phrase there, Momo. Lean in.
Yeah.
That's what they should have done with this guy, is lean in. And by the way, if I was another paint company, if I was a competitor, I'd hire that guy.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow.
Glidden or whoever else makes paint, scoop them up immediately, because that's crazy. Crazy.
Benjamin Moore, maybe, something like that. Yeah.
I could not believe they did that. All right, next one here. So Chappelle's Show will no longer stream on Netflix at the request of the show's star, Dave Chappelle.
Mm-hmm.
The comedian shared a video on his Instagram account Tuesday of one of his stand-up shows titled Unforgiven, where he explained the ordeal. He said, quote, "People think I made a lot of money for Chappelle's Show, but when I left that show, I never got paid. They didn't have to pay me because I signed the contract. But is that right? I found out that these people were streaming my work and they never had to ask me or they never had to tell me. Perfectly legal because I signed the contract. But is that right?" And then, you know, now Dave Chappelle kind of makes somewhat of, I guess, of a comeback, you could call it, with his new, you know, comedy series. And he has a good relationship with Netflix. So he said he called them and he told them that, quote, "This makes me feel bad. And you want to know what they did?" They agreed that they would take it off their platform just so I could feel better. So should Netflix have removed the Chappelle Show from their platform simply at Dave's request? Swipe left or swipe right?
This is a tough one.
Yeah.
Because people enjoy the Chappelle Show. And Lindsay, how are they going to watch it if Netflix, you know, a lot of people don't have regular TV anymore. They just have Netflix.
Right.
So part of me wants to say, Dave should realize that, and there's new generations of fans discovering Chappelle's Show, and he should leave it up there. But Ramona, I don't know if he doesn't want, it's his work, his name's on the show. If he doesn't want it out there, maybe it shouldn't be out there. I don't know. What do you think?
There was another way to do it. They could have just paid him some more money.
Yep, exactly.
If they were just like trying to, you know, this is, I mean, to me, that's sort of a little short-sighted on both of their ends. Like, there was probably a way where they could have paid him and, you know, backdated the payment. But that is, as I have learned myself in navigating this new world of streaming, okay, there's a real premium on intellectual property. And it's not just intellectual property right now, it's intellectual property in perpetuity for whatever it might be or whatever the media might be in 20 years. And so a lot of the contracts you sign right now, it's like, nobody knows what my story that I wrote last week is going to be like for ESPN in 20 years. Maybe they're going to turn it into something. I don't know. But, you know, somebody can option your story that you wrote a long time ago and you don't own it. That's part of your contract. And so I think it's I understand why he feels that way, because a lot of times as an artist, you don't realize like what you gave up in the deal. But that's the job of your agent and all your people who are that you're giving whatever 10% or 15% to look over all the contracts to foresee like future earnings and things like that. I think that's really important. And whenever he did those shows was probably so early, like the word streaming probably didn't even exist.
Yeah, he pointed out that Netflix didn't even exist when, quote, like all this bad stuff happened to him. So Viacom/CBS, they're the ones who own the Chappelle Show. And even though like his name is on it and everything, they own the rights to that show. So when streaming became a thing and Netflix made a deal with Viacom/CBS, they basically were able to negotiate any of their programming. So I think it's crazy to see how like the next even like year or so will shake out with some of these shows that are now being picked up on streaming services,
right?
Like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime, because a lot of these shows that came out way back before streaming was a thing, it's like, how do you compensate?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I'm surprised this isn't like more of a thing. At the end of the day, you kind of are like screwing over the people that made the show, you know, the people that were in the show.
He probably used to get paid by what cable service was it? Was it HBO?
CBS.
CBS. Okay, he probably got paid by them like a royalties fee,
right,
or a
right.
repeat fee. So it's kind of like, hey, I just gave up. Like, you're making a lot of money off this show that we didn't even know existed. It's just one of those things that has been going on with artists and music labels and TV labels forever, because technology changes. And I think like the easier solve would have been to just pay Dave Chappelle. But if you do that, you set a precedent for everybody else.
Yeah,
and that's why, you know, there's so many more shows that are going to be having this issue. And they could have just stuck it to Dave and said, sorry, we own it. You should have had a better lawyer. But this is a good compromise, because otherwise they're setting a precedent. I'm usually on the side of artists, though. I have sympathy. I think they should kind of renegotiate or backdate some of these contracts so they get something.
All right, Lindsay, you got one more?
Yeah, last one here. So Matthew McConaughey recently appeared on the 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt podcast, where he
by the way.
It is a great podcast. He revealed a very interesting grooming habit. It's that he doesn't wear deodorant. So here's a quick clip of him explaining why.
One, as we've come to know, most deodorant's not good for you. The under your arms is an actual pore, a large pore, which you can ingest chemicals from, all in the name of a bit of vanity to say, hey, I'd like to smell like somebody else other than myself. No. Also, people that I like, I don't want you smelling like somebody else's name that's on the bottle of that lady who made that perfume for their body. I don't want that on my girl. Deodorant, if you're drinking enough water, it should be all right.
So, have to ask you guys, could you ever make this lifestyle change and stop wearing deodorant? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe left. No way am I walking around without deodorant. When my son was coming of age, I would say, are you using deodorant? Goes, no. I go, put it on immediately. Matthew McConaughey is full of crap. People stink that don't use deodorant. I'm not using deodorant because it's bad for you is a crock of crap. No, wear deodorant.
Okay, so I am actually going to swipe right. I'm sorry.
Do you not wear any deodorant?
No, I do, but I switched. When I got pregnant, I started reading about this, and it was like one of those, you know, when you're pregnant, you read about every little thing that you
sure.
put in your body, right?
Yeah.
And it is very bad for you.
It's really bad for you. You have like lymph nodes right there that absorb a lot of really bad chemicals. So I switched to the, like, you know, the natural deodorants. Like I switched to there's one that's like a crystal deodorant. And there's one that's like kind of a, you know, they're like more, I just try all different kinds. I kind of like the charcoal one. So I do think that stuff's getting in your body, but I like more natural deodorants because he's right. You do really get a lot absorbed right there, especially women.
I did try that and I did a lot of research too. And like, this is really gross, but I guess when you first switch from normal deodorant, antiperspirant, to natural deodorant, your body like detoxes
yeah.
the old stuff. And that's when you really start to smell. Like, I smell bad because it's like your body getting out all the old deodorant because it stays in your system. And so I smelled so bad for like 2 weeks and I was sweating profusely. So I had to give up natural deodorant and stop it. And I swore like over the next couple like months, I'm going to go back to trying the natural deodorant. Now would actually probably be the time to do it since I'm not going anywhere.
But you haven't used any deodorant for like the past month or so?
I went back to regular deodorant because, you know, I'm stuck in my bedroom like most of the time by myself. I don't want to stink because I'm going to smell myself.
So it's funny because I have totally changed my habits like since quarantine. I think I just shower all the time because it's like something to do and, you know,
I shower
all the time. And so like I just put the natural stuff on all the time and I don't think I smell. I really think between drinking lots of water, taking lots of showers and using the natural stuff, I think it's fine. And that's like, now if I was out there and I was like, you know, working out or something, or if I was, you know, but if you use the natural stuff and then if you want to put some perfume on, you can put perfume on, but you don't have to put it in like there.
Well, we'll have to tell you next time we see you if we think.
Yeah, the hard part is the sweaty pits.
Yeah.
Because deodorant, all it does is cover up the smell. But if you don't use antiperspirant, then you're going to get sweaty pits. And then you have issues when you're on TV because then you could be like that girl on TV with sweaty pits.
Don't wear gray.
Yeah, and that'll become your meme.
Yes.
All right, that's it for Radio Tinder. I'm not sure the visual. Now I'm going to be looking at everybody's armpits next time I'm watching TV.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Lindsay, what is the status of Keyshawn? Did we find him?
Yeah, he should be good to go next segment.
Key is going to join us next. It's weird because the Rams played on Monday. We had to kind of move everybody. So we're confident that Keyshawn will join us next. We're not 100% sure, but we're confident. So stay tuned for that. 710 ESPN.